All right, we're back. Amen. Well, let's continue, saints. Just picking up where I left off. These two things, as I was considering them a bit this week, on the quenching of the, excuse me, on the grieving of the Spirit and the quenching of the Spirit, somewhat matches these two aspects of the Spirit and His work. And that is what we mentioned as the essential aspect of the Spirit and His work, and the economical aspect of the Spirit and His work. We all need to know the Spirit has these two aspects. These are not scriptural terms, but the truth is in the Word. Like the Lord Jesus, even as a man when He came, He experienced or partook of the Spirit of God in these two ways. Number one, He was conceived in Mary's womb, and that conception is by the Spirit and with the Spirit. So at the birth of Christ, Jesus, the man, was what? Was of the Spirit and has the Spirit. And that's what give him his divine nature, this thing in the womb, a holy thing. So you may say that he, through his birth, conception and birth, Jesus has experienced or possesses the essential Spirit, the essential side aspect of the Spirit. Then 30 years old, he came out to minister. What happened? He went to River Jordan and fulfilled God's righteousness as a man to be baptized by John the Baptist. And baptism always means what? It means the termination, the burial of man, of the old man. So the Lord, as a human being, pass through that as a man. So he died to himself, and he was buried in baptism. And when he emerged out of the water, what happens? It says the Spirit, as a dove, descended upon him. And that descension of the Spirit upon the Lord, you may say, is the economical aspect of the Spirit's, the work of God, the Spirit, with Jesus, the man. He experienced, shall we say, the economical Spirit, and that Spirit anointed him. He was anointed by that Spirit, and that anointing, that coming of the Spirit upon him, was not for his essence, for his living and for his existence, that Spirit, as in the case of his birth, but that Spirit was what? Was to empower him, was to authorize him, was to inaugurate him, to carry out God's commission, to do God's work, all right? To carry out his earthly ministry, to fulfill God's purpose. So Jesus, as a man, a God-man, had those two experiences. So he was a man full of the Spirit within and without. So what he did, what he spoke, is all by the Spirit and with the Spirit. And his living, his testimony, was one filled with the Spirit. So he set up that model for us, the coming God-men. So look at the believers, the believers, the first believers on the night of resurrection, they will gather in the upper room. The Lord came and what? And breathed into them what? The holy breath, and say, receive the holy breath or the Holy Spirit. Same word in Greek. So that breathing in of the Spirit is the Lord being imparted into them as the life-giving Spirit which he became and transfigured to become through his death and his resurrection. So the first believers receive this essential Spirit, right, into them for their existence, for their essence, and for their life, and all the things related to the work of this indwelling Spirit that I mentioned in the first part of my fellowship today. But then, so many days later, right, 50 days, at the time of Pentecost, the Spirit came again. But that Spirit is not a different Spirit. It's the same Spirit. But it came this time as the promise of the Father to be poured upon this group of believers who already possessed this essential Spirit of life within them already. They already have the Spirit within them. They receive that Spirit already. But they still have to wait for that hour, that day, for the economical side, the economical Spirit to be poured upon them. And that pouring was what? So that they can receive the baptism of the Spirit. And that baptism, number one, put them into one body. We are all baptized in one Spirit into one body. All right? So that is for the formation of the church. But not only did it immerse them or baptize them into one body for the church to be formed, for the body to exist in the New Testament, the church of God. That baptism also what empowered them. So it's not only on that day or in chapter 10 in the house of Cornelius, on the Jewish part and the Gentile part, the believers representing all of us were baptized into this Spirit. Thereafter, you read the book of Acts, the believers experience this outpour Spirit, this economical aspect of the Spirit of power for their move, for their ministry, for their preaching, for their work, which is very important, for the exercise of their gifts, for the building up of the church. They experience this again and again. The believers did it. You know, the two words of filling in Acts in Greek, one is pleroo, that is the filling inside. It says the wind came and filled the house where they were sitting in chapter 2 on day of Pentecost. That filling is pleroo. It's an infilling. And then there is the other word, plethro, that is the outfilling, the outside filling, all right, of the Spirit, which they experience at the same time. And subsequent to this, they continue to experience that. They have the Spirit within. They also experience the Spirit without. Peter experienced that, you know, when he spoke to the Sanhedrin, when they under persecution, he was filled with the Spirit. That is the outward filling of the Spirit, to give him the authority and the power to preach, to speak for the Lord. Later on, Paul, upon his baptism, it says he called on the Lord and he was filled with the Spirit. That is the outward filling for Paul, right? likely when he met the Lord on the way up to Damascus, he said, "Lord, who are you?" He received the Lord at that time. He called upon the name of the Lord. But it awaits Ananias, a member of the body, to lay hands on him, to really identify him as a member of the Lord's body. He was positioned to what? Receive the outward filling of the Spirit of power for his ministry. So this happened. You know, these are the examples. So brothers and sisters, today, with this basic understanding, this basic truth, we experience the Spirit also in these two aspects. It's not two spirits. It's the same one Spirit in two aspects. Essentially, for our living, for our existence, for our essence, the indwelling Spirit of life. Then there is the economical Spirit, and that is the Spirit in the way of power, that we would be anointed by the Spirit. We will be baptized in this Spirit. We will experience the outfilling of the Spirit so that we can speak, we can serve, we can exercise our gift to build up the church. We can preach the gospel. Today, the reason that we don't have boldness, we don't have the power to speak the word, to preach the gospel, is because we're short of the second aspect of the filling of the Spirit. The fact of the matter is, if we are properly positioned in the church, all right, we're one with the church, we're standing on the ground of the body of Christ, these facts, the fact of the outfilling of the Spirit is ours. Don't take the way of the Pentecost, where that you have to go and pray for certain days and nights and fast, and suddenly the roof opened up, the Spirit came down, and you are hit with the Spirit. You're slain by the Spirit. You start speaking in tongues. You're doing crazy things. Forget about that. No, that is a wrong understanding. You know, no, we have already been baptized in the Spirit, just like we have already received the Spirit. But experientially, at the time of the Lord's resurrection and upon his ascension, you know, at resurrection, the Spirit of essential Spirit was breathed into the disciples. Upon his ascension and descension, the Spirit of power, the economical Spirit, was poured out. All right. And if we are with the Lord, one with the Lord, if we are one with the body of Christ, these facts are ours for sure, for sure. But to apply them in our experience, we have to be properly conditioned. Right? The fact may be ours, but the experience may not be. So we need to be properly conditioned and properly positioned. Just now, what I was talking about, the grieving of the Spirit has to do with our not fulfilling the condition of being filled with the Spirit within the essential Spirit. That is the sealing work of the Spirit. We will hinder. Do you follow me, dear saints? So we need to live a life, Christian life, of what? Of not grieving the Spirit, of pleasing the Spirit, of making the Spirit happy by being led by the Spirit, by walking according to the Spirit, by listening to the Spirit, by obeying the Spirit, by surrendering to the Spirit. And also what, and by doing that, we will be filled with the Spirit. You almost don't need to pray, "Fill me with the Spirit." The Spirit will fill you under those conditions. And this is why we say it's so important for us to what? To confess our sins, to be one with the Lord, to confess our sins, to be always living a life of consecration, and so forth. All of this is to take care of the Spirit, to not hinder or frustrate the Spirit's work to fill us inwardly. Now, the other side is not to quench that Spirit. This has to do with the, I'm applying this now, the economical side. The Spirit longs to move with us, in us, and through us. You know, we sing the song, Channels Only, Blessed Master, right? It talks about us being a channel to flow out the living water to those around, giving the messages to those around. This implies gospel preaching. This includes our ministering Christ to people, our speaking for the Lord in the meetings, all of these things, to be such a channel require us to be filled with the Spirit without, not just within, but without. And so what should we do? We should condition ourselves in a way not to quench the Spirit. This Spirit is like a fire, the little fire, always what? Burning within us, always. You know, the fire, I use the word, it's a spiritual impulse of the divine life that wants to accomplish something, that will spread, that will cause something to happen on this earth. He is casting fire on the earth. Our gospel should be part of the casting of that fire. Am I right? And so on and so forth. This aspect of the Spirit, or this Spirit, we must not quench. So this Spirit, that means this Spirit is always moving, operating, doing something. For example, why in the meetings of the church we never open our mouth? We never speak. We never pray. The Spirit is, how many times the Spirit is prompting us, touching us, urging us, moving within us, but we quench it, we suppress it, we thwart it, we push it down. And after a while, it's like, hey, the Spirit is not bothering me anymore. Praise the Lord. What? That's because that Spirit has been suppressed by you for so long and thwarted by you for so long. It's quenched experientially, quenched by you. You quenched it. You just keep dousing it with water. And so this Spirit stopped working. This Spirit stopped burning. Our cooperation with the Lord here is to what? Is to not quench it, rather fan it, stir it up, kindle it, make it burn, add gasoline to it. This is what we should do with the Spirit. Now, having said that, I'd like to come to my point. How do we do this? Not grieve the Spirit, but follow the Spirit. How do we not quench the Spirit, but kindle and flame the Spirit within us so that we can experience this marvelous, wonderful Spirit of the Triune God all the time? The key, according to our brother's fellowship in the Vital Group Training, book one, the first book, called The Urgent Fellowship of the Vital Groups, is prayer. Is prayer. Now, we all know we talk about prayer. In fact, one of the items in our practice to be vitalized is much and thorough prayer. I hope these things we cover will not leave us. We will condition ourselves daily, number one, to have much and more absolute fellowship with the Lord, to have much and thorough confession of our sins and so many things, and have what? And have much and thorough prayer. these three points preceded our fellowship now on being filled with the Spirit. Those are the preconditions. And among those things, the prayer is the main thing. How do you maintain a fellowship with the Lord? By prayer. How do you confess to the Lord? Live a life of confession through prayer. And of course, the prayer life is about prayer. So here is what our brother said. And it's a marvelous way how he tied these two aspects of the Spirit together, saying this, that the essential filling of the Spirit is a base, all right? But the more we're filled with the Spirit in this way, this will usher us, lead us into the outward filling of the Spirit. Okay, the outward filling of the Spirit. And he said that there must be a bridge that will usher you from one to the other. And what is the bridge here? He says, that bridge is simply our prayer. Now, I'm trying to open up to some of this here. And let me read it to you. Let me read it to you. Our participation in the outpouring of the economical Spirit of power is based upon the triune God as the consummated Spirit dwelling in us, operating in us, living in us, making his home in us, supplying us and filling us. This is the base. But why do we not experience the outpouring of the Spirit? This is because we are short of prayer. Prayer is the bridge that bridges these two aspects together. This opened my eyes. This has opened my eyes. This is 1993 when he spoke this. Open my eyes. We have the inward filling of the indwelling Spirit, but we do not have the outward power because there's no connection, no bridge between the two things. Prayer is our bridge. Some Pentecostal people would say that you have to fast and pray for many days for something to happen to you. But this is against the teaching of the Bible. The Bible says that when we believe in the Lord Jesus, the Spirit came into us. Christ came into us, and God the Father came into us already. The Spirit is in us fully. All three of the divine Trinity are now in us as our life, as our essence. They have become one with our person, our constitution, our being. The Bible unveils to us that the triune God is now within us to be our essence, to be our element, and to be our constitution, mingling himself with us to make us one with him. Since this is the case, why are we so silent, so useless, and so powerless? This is because we do not touch the outward aspect of the Spirit, the economical Spirit. In order to touch this outward aspect, there's a need of a connection, a bridge, and this bridge is our prayer. We should abandon the Pentecostal concept of having to pray for many days with fasting in order to receive the power from on high. We need to pray, not just for a period of many days, but every day. We need to pray every day of every year. We need to pray unceasingly. To pray unceasingly is to have uninterrupted fellowship with God in our spirit. When we pray unceasingly, rejoice always and give thanks in everything, this will make us, quote, crazy. And when we are crazy, we have the power and the impact. If we go to visit a candidate of the gospel in a religious way, we are through. To go in this way is to go as a corpse, a dead corpse. But when we go to visit people in a crazy way, crazy, quote, way, we have the power and the impact. On the one hand, we should be the most crazy people, but on the other hand, we should be very proper. The real impact comes from our prayer. If we exercise our spirit to pray, the outpouring will be ours, making us different persons. I think that is good enough for my reading. Dear ones, so this is it. We need to pray these days much more. But it's not just praying, just to pray and say a few words and be done with it. Not prayer as a program, but prayer with the real, listen, exercise of the spirit, and I'm not done with that sentence, and listen to me, with the release of the spirit. There's a difference. Exercise is one thing. Release is another thing. Exercise does not take that much exercise, does not take much strength. But to release your spirit requires more energy on our part. So in these days, I like to ask us all to just practice this, to pray more. But not just to pray to kind of barely eke out some prayers, barely say a few words and just in a religious way and be done with it. You know, we cover the matter of prayer quite much already. But pray, brothers, like with the full release of the Spirit. You know, the word says in Psalms, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Our mouth is connected to our spirit and our heart. So if we don't open our mouth, it's hard for the spirit to come in. But when we open our mouth, I tell you, the spirit is activated. And not just even activated, the spirit is what? Comes out, is released. Is released. And this, we have to come back to this whole notion, this idea that today we are here too much imprisoning our spirit. Imprisoning our spirit. We lock him up. The spirit is in there, wanting to be released, wanting to come forth, wanting to do a lot of things, but we imprison it. By your disposition, by your quietness, by your uncooperation. I hope we can have a change and learn to exercise the spirit and even release our spirit to pray. By yourself, but especially when we're together. In the meetings with twos and threes, dear ones, just release your spirit. Don't just sit there kind of mumbling something, kind of you're still half in your mind or mostly in your mind. That is the problem. We're in our mind too much. We need to get out of our mind. This is to be beside yourself, right? To beside yourself. That means to beside your mind. Your mind is you. To get out of you, to get into the spirit by what? Releasing your spirit. Sometimes it needs crying out. Sometimes it needs shouting. Yes, I mean this when I say this. You say, oh, this is so uncivilized. This is so, offensive. I don't care what you say. I just want water. And I want to let the water out. I'm not here to be just a good person. good and presentable person. We're not here to say we should not be proper. No. But brothers and sisters, there is a desperate need for the Spirit to have a way in us, to be freed, the Spirit to be freed, to be released, to have a way to come out of us as channels of living water. So let us open the prison door. Let the Spirit out, your Spirit out. Be with some saints, some sisters, some brothers. Just pray. Strongly pray. Don't just mumble something. Don't just be indifferent. Fan into flame. Be burning in the Spirit. Be vocal. You know, it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Praising the Lord, that is the release of the Spirit. How come in the Lord's table is still so silent? Where is the release of the Spirit? Where is the coming out of the Spirit? Everyone is locking up their spirit inside, and you have a dead meeting. No power, no functioning of gifts, no impact. Even when new ones come, they just say, I don't want to come back to this. But when every saint is releasing their spirit, my, you know, I will say in the coming weeks, there's not only the prayer that is the bridge. I want to add another bridge. And that bridge is speaking. Praying and speaking is the way we release the spirit. Exercise and release the spirit. And when that happens with a number of saints, I tell you, you will see our meetings change, our church life change, our gospel life change. Our church will be vitalized because we now have the Spirit, not only in name, in fact, in position, but in experience, in enjoyment, in release. So I just end here by giving you these two songs to sing on the release of the Spirit, okay? And that is 845 and 846. These two songs helped me so, so much when I first came to the church life. I was this conservative, introverted, scrawny Chinese boy, okay? And I just can't handle noise. I don't want to. The Lord had mercy on me and gave me a breakthrough with the help of these two hymns, that if I stay that way, I will be just held up in myself, locked up in myself. The Spirit will have no way to flow. And there would be no fellowship with the saints. There would be no building of the body. And so I have to fight against myself, repudiate myself, even overthrow my disposition to stand against this conservative, introverted disposition to release my spirit in the meetings. All these years, 50 some years, I'm still here. I'm still serving in this kind of way because of that. All right, I better stop here, dear saints. Amen. Practice this, dear saint. Practice this. Come together and pray. I wouldn't say pray up a storm, but you know what I mean. Fan into flame. Release the Spirit. Exercise the Spirit. The Spirit is already there for us to enjoy and apply. Okay, brothers, amen.
Amen. Our way to respond to our brother speaking is to practice these things. First, we should pray both by ourselves, but also with others in the meeting. When we're with others in the meeting, we should practice and even condition ourselves. Our brother has mentioned this, not to quench the Spirit, but to release the Spirit and to fan the Spirit into flame. We can do this together with others. And it's not just a matter of praying, but also how desperate we are and how genuine we are and how much we exercise and release our spirit in our prayer. In addition to this, our brother mentioned to speak. We should also speak to exercise and release our spirits. And he also mentioned two hymns that we can sing to help us release our spirit. Hymns, hymn 845 and 846. In addition to this, we can go through the fellowship concerning the urgent need of the vital groups, chapter 13. I believe he went through that chapter, or at least part of it, in talking about the bridge between the inward filling of the Spirit and the outward filling of the Spirit. And then finally, next week is the International Chinese Speaking Conference. And even though it will be in Chinese, it is for all the saints. And the churches in NorCal will be enjoying this feast together next week, starting on Friday evening. So please, even if you don't speak Chinese, please come to enjoy this feast with all the saints. And we'll be blending together, and we'll have breakout rooms for you to overflow your enjoyment, an opportunity to speak and release the Spirit with all the saints. If there's no more announcements, we can end the meeting here.
Amen, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.